This is Redefine Fitness. I am Kelsey Wells. Welcome back. Whew. Okay. This is going to be another heavy episode because we are discussing nutrition, and you're maybe wondering why that needs to be so heavy. Well, here's the thing. I have a lot to say about this. And there are a lot of facts that we need to shed a light on. And it feels almost impossibly overwhelming. And maybe because this is something that I have such deep personal experience with, something that I have watched so many loved ones struggle deeply with, as well as my own struggles. And maybe it's the fact that honestly, the weight of knowing that eating disorders are more prevalent than ever breaks me, because it doesn't need to be that way and it shouldn't. But I can only do what I can do. And that starts with my own healing, which I've been working on for years and I continually work on. And that also begins with using this platform to shout as loudly and as clearly as I can the truth about eating and diet and nutrition. As a professional fitness trainer, as someone who so many women come to for advice about these things, as someone with a platform who can hopefully reach anyone who was where I have been at so many different times in my life. I think awareness is key to everything, and this is no different. So that said, if that wasn't enough of a trigger warning already, we will be talking about disordered eating and eating disorders in this episode. Yes, I'm also going to answer all of your questions. I appreciate so much you sending them in. I don't think any of them are too trivial. We will be getting into all of it. I mean, how I personally eat, how I used to personally eat, my journey, keto, macros, alcohol. I mean, all of the many, many things that you guys asked me about, I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer honestly, and we will get there. But first and foremost, we need to talk. We need to talk about nutrition in general. And here's the thing. You have probably been told and sold so many times the key to a healthy diet, or the best way to eat, or try this new thing, or take this pill, or drink this tea, or wear this waist trainer. You have been sold and targeted up and down since before you could even have begun to be aware of it, about diet and nutrition. And that is due to an industry who is profiting immensely off of your, not only your insecurities, this is where I get angry. Because it's not just about insecurity. Okay, sorry. Let me back up a little bit. My point to say that is there is a key to a healthy diet. There is one clear piece that if it is in place, everything else will fall into place. I truly believe that. The one sweeping thing that encompasses and can pertain to everybody, the one universal truth about dieting, and I say dieting and diet as in the way that you are eating, what you are eating, is this. The key to a healthy diet is having a healthy mental relationship to food. Apart from that, nutrition is individual. And that's not what you've been told and sold, and that's maybe not what you were wanting to hear from me, but that is the facts, okay? Nutrition is individual. And maybe your mom or your sister or your best friend found a way of eating that they are just thriving on, they feel good, they look great, and they're just trying to get you on board. That's fine, but take it with a grain of salt, because what works for them might not work for you. What is best for them might not be best for you. Okay, nutrition is individual. Your focus in nutrition should not solely be to lose weight. Please hear me. I am not saying it is bad to have a goal of losing weight. In some circumstances, that's a healthy goal. And so long as you go about that in healthy and sustainable and maintainable ways, and it's not a detriment to your mental health, then that's wonderful. But for many, that's not the case. And there's a big difference between eating and living solely to lose body fat and eating and living healthily. The two are not always the same. And it is up to us, it is up to you to really understand this, to take back ownership over your eating and rewrite how you feel about food from a healthy place. Because ultimately, food is fuel. When you are seeking to figure out the best way to eat, you should be seeking to educate yourself and find a place where you can nourish and not punish. I know that sounds abstract. You might be rolling your eyes, but it is so, so important. The other thing, that's going to look different throughout different phases of your life. There are many tools you can use, many different things you can try. But I think overall and ultimately the best advice I can give to all of you who sent in these questions and anyone listening is to take a deep breath, take a step back, release the pressure off of yourself. And just come at this in a much more gentler way. There should be no guilt associated to the way that you eat. I've said before, and I will say it forever, nothing you could have eaten is as unhealthy for you as shaming yourself for eating. Now, if you think I'm being dramatic, I'm glad because that means you don't struggle with any of this. However, I'm not. I'm going to share some statistics with you. And I pulled these straight off of the ANAD website, which is the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders. There's a lot of research on this, and it is all very real. 42% of first through third grade girls want to be thinner. 81% of 10-year-old children are afraid of being fat. 46% of 9 to 11-year-olds are very often on diets. 35 to 57% of adolescent girls engage in crash dieting, fasting, self-induced vomiting, diet pills, or laxative. In a college campus survey, 91% of women admitted to controlling their weight through dieting. Last but not least, eating disorders have the second highest mortality rate of all mental health disorders, surpassed only by opioid addiction. So yeah, it matters. And it's more important than anything else that we are aware. I know that that's heavy to hear, but I need to stress that there is help and healing available, and that if you are struggling, recovery is so real. I will be posting information for Nita and Anad in the description of this episode. That's the National Eating Disorder Association and the Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorder Associations. Those, I believe, are the most helpful places to begin to seek help, to go to for support. They can help you source professional help if you need it. And please know, there is zero shame and so much bravery and joy and relief in seeking help when you need it. That said, before we get into everything else regarding nutrition, I wanted to take a minute and share with you a list off of the NIDA website this time that are common symptoms and signs to look for. And I want to share this. I think it's very important because I had every single one of these and I thought they were normal. I didn't think I was struggling when all of these started to become my reality. And of course, it's important to note that the presence or absence of all or one of these does not guarantee or negate the presence of someone having an eating disorder. It's also so important to say and remember that eating disorders are prevalent and manifest in all body sizes. Symptoms and signs to look for. In general, behaviors and attitudes that indicate that weight loss, dieting, and control of food are becoming very primary concerns. Preoccupation with weight, food, calories, carbs, fat grams, and dieting. Refusal to eat certain foods, progressing to restrictions against whole categories of foods, e.g. cutting out all carbs. Appearing uncomfortable eating around others. Implementing food rituals such as only eating a particular food group or excessively chewing, doesn't allow foods to touch, skipping meals or taking very small portions of food at regular meals, new practices with food or fad diets, including cutting out entire food groups, no sugar or carbs or dairy, vegetarianism, veganism, withdrawal from usual friends or activities, obsessive or frequent dieting, extreme concern with body size and shape, frequent checking in mirror for perceived flaws in appearance, and extreme mood swings. And these are just, obviously that whole list is mental signs and symptoms. Not to mention there's many ways that these disorders and various eating disorders can physically manifest and present. If you were listening to those and you identified a few of them within yourself and you didn't think you were struggling, I urge you to be very gentle with yourself. Had I understood when I began to struggle that these things were not normal or not healthy, it could have saved me from a lot of heartache and struggling and from things getting worse. Looking back, much of my most disordered eating, I just completely denied it because I was trying to lie about it, because I actually didn't believe that anything was wrong with the way that I was eating. Okay. I apologize. I feel like this is my most scatterbrained episode so far, but I just truly didn't know how to even begin with this. And I feel inadequate. I feel inadequate to even be speaking on this, but I need to. So I'm doing my best. Okay. All of that to say, this is why. This is why your mental relationship with food matters the most, in the most serious sense. In an equally important but a little less serious sense, when we are so obsessed with what we are putting into our mouths, how are we supposed to expand and unfold and grow and learn and create in all the ways that we are called to? Maybe you don't have dangerous, disordered eating patterns or habits. Is your fixation or fascination on what you are putting into your mouth distracting you from being present in your life? Because that's why this matters too. Okay. I want to share with you guys, before I get into some more specific topics and questions, about my personal journey to learning how to eat healthier. I think this will answer a lot of your questions as I tell this, so hopefully it will be beneficial, and then I'll get into some specifics. But basically, as if you've listened to the prior episodes, my whole kind of journey to redefining fitness for myself and understanding that fitness is about caring for our health, and that our health is more than physical, it's also mental and emotional. That journey for me began when I was postpartum with my son. I began exercising regularly for the first time in my life from a healthy place. And that's what I did first. Okay. At this time, I was 24. I was nursing my son, which was a great blessing, but also an extreme source of my anxiety. I didn't even think about or try to change how I was eating or worry or think about what I was eating or eating healthy, because in the past, every time that I attempted to, quote, eat healthy, I did something very extreme calorie restriction, some ridiculous extreme fad diet. And this time was about healing myself. And I didn't think that I really knew how to eat healthier or eat in a healthy way that was truly healthy. And also, I was exceptionally overwhelmed with just regularly exercising and implementing that habit. So it was probably, gosh, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so into my journey that I decided to focus a little bit on what I was eating. Once exercising regularly wasn't so overwhelming, and that was part of my normal, I decided that I wanted to nourish my body a little bit healthier. But I did it very delicately. Finally, you guys, I tried everything, okay? And I promise you, if you are wanting to overhaul completely the way that you eat, or if you are wanting, like, in the sense that you want to feel better, you want to be healthier overall in your diet and in what you put into your mouth, instead of jumping to some extreme thing, even if it's not unhealthy, even if it's like you're going to sign up for some very, very specific meal plan and you're eating the right amount of calories, but it's just ridiculously expensive and rigid. And that's one way to go. But for me personally, that doesn't work. Instead of doing something all or nothing, maybe try making one small shift at a time. It's not as shiny. It's not as appealing. That's why most people don't do it like this. But finally, at 24 years old, after years of trying everything else, this is what I did, and this is what actually worked. The way that I eat today is day and night difference from how I ate from teenager until I was 24 years old, 25 years old. But I didn't change everything overnight. It was one small step at a time, and it was from a place of a mindset of abundance. The first thing I did, to give you some context, let me just paint this picture for you, okay? I drank more Dr. Pepper than water. I ate fast food almost daily. I ate pretty much zero vegetables. I mean, I'm truly saying like maybe once a week I would eat something green, maybe. There was a good portion there that I truly lived off sugar cereal, you know, like three or four bowls for a meal. And I simply, funny enough, that phase I was eating probably a little bit healthier than I had been in other phases of my life because I was actually eating and I was not feeling bad about it. You know, I was doing what I needed to do. But I realized when I started to exercise that, hey, if I treated myself with love through food, I could maybe feel better. And sure enough, as I started to make more nutritious choices, I did indeed start to feel better. I had more energy for my workouts. And it made it kind of so much easier than just saying, okay, I'm not going to have any sugar. I'm not going to have any treats. I'm not going to have any candy. It's just that all or nothing did not work for me. I came at it from a place of abundance and I began by drinking water. I didn't even say I can't have Dr. Pepper. I said, I'm going to drink 10 cups of water every day. If I hit my water goal, then I can drink my Dr. Pepper. And I ended up drinking a lot less Dr. Pepper, and I ended up being properly hydrated for like the first time and feeling so much better as a result of that. Once I was used to drinking water, and drinking water was normal to me and no longer overwhelming, I was like, whoa, I'm going to start eating vegetables. I'm going to start eating vegetables. I didn't say I can't have French fries or fast food. I said, you know what? I'm going to try for 3 to 4 servings of vegetables every day. And then I can eat whatever the hell other snacks I want. But I focused on giving my body more micronutrients, more fiber, more vegetables. And guess what? I started to eat a lot less snacks with very little nutritional value because I was a little bit more satiated and a little bit fuller. And I also started to feel better because I was incorporating micronutrients into my diet and adequate fiber into my diet. And I think the next shift that I made was protein. I wanted to up my protein intake. And I started adding a whey protein shake. Every day, just one, just an extra, 25 grams of protein every day. And this is my point. If you are wanting to eat healthier and you are just sick of trying everything and feeling like it's not working, I'm not saying, obviously I can't tell you there because it's individual, right? And I don't know your personal body composition. I don't know your goals. I don't know the way that you're training. I don't know your allergies or intolerances. I don't know your hormone situation. Like there's so much that comes into play here, but I'm saying in general, we are so quick to jump onto an all or nothing mindset or do something drastic or extreme that is oftentimes unhealthy. When in reality, if we just focused from a place of abundance on nourishing our bodies better, we will make the progress that we are after and we'll be able to make it in a more healthy and sustainable way. So it was probably 2 years into my journey. So I guess, you know, my biggest or most dramatic body composition, like physical change in a, you know, side-by-side photos was already made at this point. A good friend of mine who I love and admire, also a trainer, she introduced me to macros. I'd never heard of them before. I mean, I had just become a certified personal trainer, but I hadn't studied anything about nutrition yet. And I'd heard of macronutrients, but I didn't really understand. I didn't know what people meant when they said counting macros. And she introduced this to me. And it was awesome. You know, for me at first, I had a lot of time on my hands. I had just kind of was transitioning. My husband and I moved to Houston, Texas for Ryan's work. And so I had to leave my interior design clients behind. And I had this, really my job was just kind of to take care of Anderson and help Ryan where I could. And it left me more time on my hands. So being able to learn about macros and try counting macros was really fun for me. And what I kind of found out is that I think I was under eating a little bit intuitively. And so I counted macros, and I counted macros on and off for maybe about a year or so. And I felt great. I wasn't too obsessive with it. And I did see some progress as far as gaining muscle. And there's no question that counting macros can be, I guess we're going to cover the topic of macros right now. Counting macros can be great. It is scientifically proven that that does work if you are trying to shift your body composition. However, okay, it is not right and best for everyone. If you have a history or if you currently struggle with food obsession or disordered eating or eating disorders, it is probably not the best way for you. And into my macro journey, I realized that I needed to take a big break and a big step back because I was starting to use that in an obsessive way. And I was starting to realize that it was maybe a little bit unhealthy for me. And so I had to let go and I needed to eat intuitively. And I was at that time went and studied and through National Academy of Sports Medicine, that's who I'm a trainer through, I did their fitness nutrition specialist certification. And that was really good as far as educating me on how the body works and nutrition in general. I'm not a nutritionist. I don't have my bachelor's degree in nutrition or exercise science. I want to make that clear. I'm a professional fitness trainer and I have knowledge and have studied fitness nutrition, but this is again why I do not create individual meal plans for anyone. It's not my focus. And this is why, again, I'm not going to advise specifically what you should be doing. But gaining that knowledge helped me to understand better and let go and kind of combat some of my personal fears and my personal triggers and work through those. And since then, I mean, I guess over the last maybe 4 years or so, I have counted my macros on and off. And my personal journey, again, I will say that my relationship with food, I've made a lot of progress with my mental relationship with food. However, in my times of extreme stress or heartache, when my anxiety is at its highest and I'm going through hard things, one of my biggest triggers that still comes up is with my eating. And I handle things in such a healthier way now than I did before. But it's a journey, and it's something that I, with the awareness that I have, navigate day by day. And right now I'm in a really good, really healthy place. But you know, when the pandemic started, it was tough. And I shamed myself for struggling. And then I realized that that's not productive. We don't do that. And so, you know, it was just new. It was new to navigate, and something that I felt like I'd heal from came back up. And then I was eating intuitively for a very long time and feeling really proud of myself and good in my body. And then I broke my ankle. And just this past January, I needed to have surgery. And I knew that I'd be sedentary for a very long time. And those first few weeks where I was non-weight bearing, pretty much just lived on the same spot on my sofa, I would be lying if I said that all of these things didn't come up. And some of my first thoughts were, you know what? I need to not eat as much. I need to stop eating because I'm going to gain so much weight. I'm not able to move. And just as quickly as those thoughts came, I was able to identify what those were. And I was able to get through that, and I did not resort to that. But I share this with you, and I've never shared that before, but I share this because I think it's so important. To understand that it's a journey. And there's no shame. I really struggled. And when I am struggling, on the days that I struggle, or in the moments or periods of my life where I'm struggling with things, especially where I'm at now and how far I've come and what I speak on with my community and talking about these things, it's really hard to not shame myself for feeling hypocritical. But again, I want to make it clear the reason that I care so much about this and battling against this is because I get it. And there is no shame in struggling. Wow. Okay. So all of that said, I overall want to encourage you to first and foremost be aware of your mental relationship with food, what that looks like. Again, we no longer allow our efforts in exercise or eating to be a detriment to our mental health. If you have those struggles, there are resources. I will point you towards those. And please know that you are not alone, okay? First thing is first. Now, if you're wanting to make big shifts and lasting real changes in your diet, I would suggest doing so slow and steadily. Pick one thing, not what you cannot have or what you can't eat, but what are you going to give yourself more of? Focus on nourishing. Focus on fueling your body. And when I say food is fuel, I think that that saying gets tossed around so much, and I guess I don't know what other people mean by it, but what I mean by it, food is fuel, is that it is necessary to live. Okay, we are human beings. We have to eat every single day to stay alive. We should not be afraid to eat. And no matter how much you ate the day before, you deserve to eat today. Food is fuel for your body. On top of that, though, food is also fun. It's celebratory. It's warm memories. It's part of tradition. And I regret ever prioritizing macro counting over making memories. And there was another time in my career where I would have maybe said, you know, focus on what you want most, not what you want now in the moment, you know, in regards to just like having that willpower to not eat the cupcake at the party. But the thing is, for me personally, with my journey, what I want most and ultimately is that healthy relationship with food. And if you feel that, and if that is your case too, and your priority, eat the damn cupcake without guilt and enjoy every single bite. Because what's more important than losing, you know, a little bit of body fat a little bit faster or sticking to whatever macros you're doing is making sure that that does not obsessively control you. Okay, so we talked about macros, what I think about them, but what are they? Macros stands for macronutrients. It is protein, carbs, and fats. Okay, there are different calories attached to each. So fats are 9 calories per gram and protein and carbs are 4 calories per gram. And it is basically the macronutrients are like the building blocks of our bodies, essentially. Also, though, what you hear a lot less about are micronutrients, like vitamins and minerals and those kinds of things. Our bodies need those too. So when we're making choices, I always want to encourage you to think about both, okay? If you should or shouldn't count macros, lots of you guys ask that. Like I said, it's individual and it might shift and it might change like it does for me. it's on you to check in with yourself and do what is right and best for you. But absolutely, it can be a good way to understand that you can eat less nutritious things and still make progress in the sense of if your goal is, you know, lowering body fat or building more muscle or doing those things simultaneously, it's okay. Okay, protein. So I want to talk about protein. So many of you asked about protein, if you need it. Yes, you do need it is the answer to that. But I think women in general eat a lot lower protein organically than we realize. For me, eating just 80 grams of protein a day was actually quite a big stretch. When I actually started counting macros or learning about nutrition and looked at my diet and way of eating, I wasn't eating very much protein. Now, if your goal is to gain muscle, if you're training with me in power, if you're lifting at all, any sort of strength training, you will want to be eating protein. Also, other benefits of eating protein, you stay satiated a little bit longer, you feel fuller longer, not because I'm trying to teach you how to curb your hunger, but because I'm saying that when we eat calories that are more full of the right macronutrient balance and have protein and also have micronutrients and have fiber, it's going to help you be more satisfied. There's a reason that I could eat 5 bowls of sugar cereal until I was full. Whereas if I had a very balanced meal, I feel full eating a lot less calories. That's because of the nutrient contents in the food, right? So protein, I think if you as a coach or as a trainer, whenever friends and family come to me for advice, and this is advice that I kind of give out in general, again, take it with a grain of salt because your journey is your own. But if you're wanting to see more progress in the gym, focus on adding more protein into your diet. I'm not telling you to count your calories or your macros here. I am saying if those two things, counting calories and macros, feels like a trigger or overwhelming for you or just too time consuming or you're not into it or you don't want to start with it, simply try focusing more on paying attention to your protein intake. Eat a little bit more protein. I would recommend going for 100 grams of protein every day. Protein sources, of course, are all kinds of meat. There's a lot of protein in dairy. There's protein in soy products. And then there's, of course, protein in things like beans or certain complex carbs like sourdough bread. You know, that has more protein than normal bread. But in general, if you're eating more protein, you're going to be able to give your body the fuel it needs to build more muscle, which is great. And I think for a lot of women, they find that that's less overwhelming and more attainable than counting all of their macros. Okay. Intuitive eating. Lots of you guys asked for tips, advice on intuitive eating. If I eat intuitively, intuitive eating compared to counting calories or macros. Look, I am a huge advocate that we need to honor our hunger instead of try to curb our hunger. I think intuitive eating is incredible. I feel like on my journey, I'd say I mostly eat intuitively now, but it's hard because for me, I have a lot of knowledge about the macro and micronutrient breakdown of different foods. And so I can eat intuitively and be very aware of what I'm putting into my body at the exact same time. But overall, I'm a huge advocate for intuitive eating. And in fact, one of the guests that I'm trying to bring on the podcast here soon, this is their expertise. And so we will get into all the ins and outs of intuitive eating, the benefits of it, how you can start doing it, especially coming out of an unhealthy relationship with food, and how essentially not dieting at all in any sense and learning how to just honor your body's hunger is the ultimate and best and freest way to eat. So yes, I love intuitive eating, and we're going to get all into that in much more detail, hopefully in an episode coming up. Bloating, lots of you asked about bloating. Guys, bloating is so normal. It is so normal. Now look, before people come after me, I understand that very intense, very painful bloating all the time can be a sign of a food intolerance or allergy or imbalance or things like that. And that's not what I'm talking about. But the fact that your belly looks bigger after you eat food or drink water is completely normal. I get bloated that time of the month. I get bloated, you know, pretty much after every meal. But realizing that that's normal, I think is huge. And that's another thing that if I would have understood that your body and your stomach and your belly actually will expand after you eat and that it's okay and normal, that would have been huge for me as well when I was younger. So I want to normalize that. Okay, meal planning. You guys want to know if I meal prep? And that's a big no. That's a big nope. There have been different points in my journey where I did what I called protein prep. And I would just, you know, cook a bunch of chicken or fish or turkey, or I would have a protein or two types of protein kind of cooked and ready and stored in the fridge. And then I would just throw that with rice and vegetables for dinner or on a salad or eat it as a snack just so I could eat more protein and have that readily available, because that's always the most intensive part of cooking for me. But as far as meal prepping, it's just, it really overwhelms me. I'm not into it. It doesn't work for me. So you don't have to. So let that stress go as well. It can be great. It can be really great. Can be really helpful. It's just never been a part of my personal journey. Okay. Okay. Keto diet. I don't do it. I never have. I never will. You might think otherwise due to the fact that there are like a bazillion fake Instagram accounts out there who have stolen my photos and are selling keto products with my photos, which makes me frustrated to say the least. excuse me. But no, I haven't done the keto diet, and with my knowledge of nutrition, I wouldn't recommend it to most people. I think if you're going to do keto, it should be done with doctor's clearance or even under a doctor's supervision. So many people that I see doing keto are eating such a high fat diet. And first of all, their body's not even truly in ketosis, but also the sustainability of doing that to your body and eating that much fat and oftentimes saturated fat, what's that doing to your arteries? I mean, I think that the way our body naturally works is designed by divine for a reason. And I'm not an advocate of the keto diet. Again, nutrition is individual. And if you love the keto diet and are feeling great on it, I can't say, you know, as a sweeping overall thing that it's always horrible. It's individual, but be cautious and be aware. I think for medical purposes, for certain situations, I know that it can be a good thing, but I don't like that it's become a trend. And I certainly don't like that people think that I promote it, because I do not. Intermittent fasting. I've done it on and off. And truly, it's because I don't usually like eating breakfast. I mean, it's very natural for my body to not be hungry until about 11 a.m. And so I tried intermittent fasting really intentionally for a while just to see if I could feel or see a difference. And I really didn't. I mean, I do like being able to feel quite full and have bigger meals for lunch and dinner. But then it kind of got to the point where I was needing to be uncomfortably full at those meals later in the day to get adequate calories into my diet. And overall, you guys, again, it's not the answer you want to hear. And I know that there's research out there that says keto is the best, and there's research out there that says it's horrible, and there's research out there that just swears by IF, intermittent fasting. But ultimately, it is calories in versus calories out. It is not when you put things in your mouth. It is how much and what you are putting in your mouth, ultimately. So if intermittent fasting is something that suits your lifestyle, that you enjoy, then sure, go ahead and try it. I don't think there's harm in that, so long as you're still getting adequate nutrition in the window that you are eating. All right. I have been asked more times than I can count if I drink alcohol. I do. I don't often. Here's the thing. As you know, I grew up in the Mormon religion, and they are very much against drinking alcohol in any form ever. And I did not have my first sip of alcohol until I mean, it was actually a while after I left the religion, but I was like 26 when I had my very, very first sip of alcohol. Actually, we were at the Cheesecake Factory, Ryan and I, on a date, and I decided to order a cocktail. I got the sangria, and it was so gross. It was so gross. And I didn't feel anything, but I thought, hey, I'm 26. I just want to try it. And here's the thing about alcohol. There is zero nutritional value in alcohol. It's, you know, actually kind of poisoning your body when you drink alcohol. So from like a scientific standpoint, there's not going to be a case for like having alcohol as part of your diet. However, I, as I've said, believe that the way that we eat, or if you do or do not drink, it's so much more than just the absolute nutritional value of things, right? And personally, at this point, I love to have a cocktail if I'm laying on the beach on vacation. I love to sometimes have a fancy cocktail with Ryan if we're out on a date. I never drink to get drunk. I mean, I can count on one hand the times that I've really been drunk in my life, but for me, it's a very sparingly thing, having a drink, and it's something that I very much enjoy when I do it. And maybe that just comes with the fact that I never had young, like wild party years. I don't know, but I think there's a lot of people that I love and respect who drink responsibly and live very wonderful, healthy, full lives, and substance abuse is not an issue for them, and that's great. And again, it's individual, you guys. I think, can you make, you know, progress? And when I say progress, everyone's wanting to know, can you gain muscle or lose body fat or hit certain aesthetic goals or fitness goals if you drink alcohol? Yeah, you can, but you need to be aware. You need to have things in moderation, and it's definitely not going to help you reach your goals. So if you're struggling to get to goals, say you have a good relationship with food, you're wanting to dial things in, counting your macros or whatnot, you can fit a drink here and there in your macros quite easily. But understand that when you are doing that, you are taking up those calories with food that could provide you actual nutrition that your body needs. So again, take this with a grain of salt. Understand your journey is going to fluctuate. Be very cautious and aware. You know, you never want to drink in excess. Obviously, that's a whole other topic and story, but that's the, I guess, the full transparent truth of if I do or do not drink alcohol. I do on occasion. And I think everyone's situation with this is different. So again, don't guilt yourself. Okay, so the other, I guess, hot button for everyone. Am I a vegetarian? So I went vegetarian. I went vegetarian, and I was vegetarian for just over a year. I never announced it. Like, I didn't say, hey, I'm going to be vegetarian. I think I started saying that I was a vegetarian when I started getting asked in interviews how I ate. And that was maybe after like 6 months. I wanted to make sure that it was something that I was going to be able to stick to before I started to speak to it at all. And so it's like, why did I become vegetarian? Why am I not vegetarian anymore? Because I am not right now. And it's simply because I'm eating how I feel is best for my body. Period. That's it. I went vegetarian because I'd always kind of felt like it's something that I wanted to try. I don't really enjoy meat in the first place. I could really do without it. And to be honest, I really hoped it would help my skin clear up a little bit. It actually made my skin worse being vegetarian, funny enough. And also how do I eat protein? How did I get adequate protein when I was vegetarian? I drank lactose-free milk. I love cottage cheese. I love Greek yogurt. I would eat eggs still. I did a lot of tofu, other like types of things like beans or almonds. I'm allergic to other nuts, but I could have almonds. So I would do things that have little bits of protein in there. But of protein shakes, of course. I had vegan protein shakes, whey protein shakes. I didn't have a problem hitting my protein goal as a vegetarian, but ultimately I set a goal for myself that I wanted to do it for at least a year. And when that year came, Ryan was like, wow, you hit a year of being vegetarian. Like, we should celebrate. And I was like, okay, let's do it. He's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to go get some chicken nuggets. And we did. And that's how that ended, you know? And I didn't eat meat all the time right away. I kind of eased into it. And now I eat poultry, so turkey or chicken, and fish on occasion. I think I've had, you know, a couple bites of steak, and I did have a burger, but overall I haven't really introduced beef or pork back into my diet. I don't know if I ever will. Well, I don't feel my best eating those types of meats, but my body functions and feels quite better having poultry. So I'd say I'd probably eat it maybe every other day on average now, and I'm feeling really good. So will I go vegetarian again? I don't know. Maybe. Will I ever go vegan? Maybe. Ultimately, I think I might. But yeah, there's no big scientific reason for that. It's just truly I'm learning to honor my body, and I'm learning to fuel my body. And I guess not learning, but keeping the promise and commitment that I made to myself to try to fuel my body in the way that feels best for me and my goals. And those goals always stem back to my mental relationship with food first. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Let me flick through. I have a little note here on my phone of your most requested topics. So what I eat in a day, I will lots of these like snack ideas, protein ideas, what I eat for different meals. If you follow me, you might know it's kind of a joke. I don't like to cook. Ryan says that I assemble food. I don't really cook food, which I think is a very accurate description. So anything that I eat is going to be simple, not time consuming at all, very easy to assemble. I do eat processed foods, you guys. I will have spaghetti sauce from a can. I will have green beans, of course, they're better from a can. And I think it shocks people when they find out that I don't eat 100% organic, or I don't cook everything from scratch, or I do eat processed foods. But what I think is shocking and unfortunate is how quick we are as a society to shame people for eating processed foods when they're far more affordable and accessible to the population. And guess what? For frozen vegetables and fresh vegetables, they've got, you know, similar nutrients. The frozen ones are going to be more nutritious for longer because they're kept in the freezer. So fresh ones you're going to need to eat faster. But I just feel like, yeah, ultimately in an ultimate world, we could all be eating more natural, if you will. But I mean, when did we decide that it's best or fair or okay to ever shame each other? I mean, we're doing our best. We're doing our best here. Yes, I eat far less processed foods now than I did, you know, 6-8 years ago, 100%. But there are protein bars that I absolutely love. You guys, there's this brand called Built Bars. They're the most superior protein bar ever. I have eaten like 1 to 3 of those every day of my life for the past like 5 years since I found out about them. Okay. I like Power Crunch bars. I have certain processed foods like whey protein powder that I really rely on and that are a regular part of my diet that I enjoy eating, that work for me and I feel good and it's great. Of course, I try to eat a lot more whole foods too. Lots of fruits, lots of vegetables in my diet, whereas I didn't before. But again, it's about convenience for me, and it's about having a diet that is rich in protein and micronutrients and fiber and helping me perform so I can feel good. And that does include occasional fast food, and it does include treats, and it does really include whatever I want to eat. And I know that that might not, again, be the answer that you want to hear, but that's the reality. That's my reality. And I think a lot of people feel pressure to only eat, you know, paleo or gluten-free or dairy-free. And there's very serious reasons that someone might be eating dairy-free or gluten-free. And if that's right for you on your journey, absolutely, I support that 100%. But what I just never support and never will get behind is getting, you know, on your glass throne and shaming everyone else for not eating how you do. I just think we need to let that rest. It's not cool. And it's not productive. You know, the way to change someone's mind is never to be angry with them or shame them. It's to, I mean, yeah, I could, that's a whole other tangent, but let me just say, I don't think I've ever received such hate as I do from vegans. Not saying all vegans throw out hate, but guys, the way to help someone understand why you feel so strong about something is not to intensely shame and hate them. I don't think that's the way. Okay, that was a side note, but all in all, we've been talking about nutrition. I'm going through and trying to make sure that I've hit all of your questions. I know this episode is a little bit lengthy, especially for a solo episode. Oh my gosh, sorry, I went off on that tangent. And I did not tell you guys what my day on a plate looks like. So basically, wake up. If I want to have breakfast right away, I will do. Anderson and I like to cook together recently, which is actually my favorite thing in the world. And we'll usually do eggs. He has his scrambled, and I'll do two or three fried and flipped eggs. I don't like him runny. Eggs, and I'll do vegetarian sausage patties. Even though I'm not a vegetarian anymore, I still think those are superior. So I'll do a couple of those, and we'll have like sourdough bread with toast and sauteed spinach. Usually he won't eat that part, but I love it. Or I'll also do for breakfast like an egg scramble. Kind of just put my eggs in the pan and throw whatever leftover veggies I have in there with some cheese. So those are kind of my go-to breakfasts as of late. For lunch, my lunches are usually on the go. I'm super busy, so I'll do a protein smoothie. I have recipes of those on my old blog, which I haven't posted on in forever, but the recipes still live on there. Anything really, I'll do like a scoop of whey protein, some milk, throw in spinach, any type of frozen fruit. I think freezing the fruit instead of putting ice in, you guys, that's how you get that thick milkshake consistency. That is what is up, I promise. Especially if you use frozen watermelon. It's the consistency of a Wendy's Frosty. I'm not kidding you on this. Just try it and thank me later. But anyway, lunch is usually a big protein smoothie. I'll put in almond butter or oats into it, so I get it very like nice, nutrient dense, calorie dense. So it's a full like meal for me is often a smoothie. Or I'll do kind of grazing boards. So I'll get cottage cheese and veggies and sliced up fruit and cheese sticks and almonds and just kind of have like a big plate of snacks essentially. That's what I'll eat for lunch oftentimes as I'm working. For dinners at our house is real simple. Poor Ryan. When it's cold outside, I love crock pot dinners. So I'll do different stews or soups in the crock pot and serve that with bread or over rice or with pasta. In the summers, we love to do anything grilled or just like any type of meat. So I'll do ground turkey and we'll do tacos with it or rice bowls with it, or we'll do chicken and we can do, it's real basic, chicken, veggies, rice, chicken, veggies, pasta with sauce. It's a lot of chicken and veggies, but we like it. I use different flavors, buffalo, barbecue, whatever. And for snacks, I have a sweet tooth. So at night, I almost always eat something sweet. I like to melt chocolate chips into almond butter and dip strawberries or apples in that. I'll have fruit, obviously, all throughout the day. Goes without saying, I eat a ton of raw fruit of almost all kinds. Fruit is my go-to. It's the love of my life. It is nature's candy. I'm trying to think what other snacks. I have those go-to protein bars. Sometimes I'll do protein shakes. I like cereal. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty basic. It's nothing too fancy. I just am a huge advocate that I need to enjoy whatever I put into my mouth. So if I'm making it, even if it's simple, it's going to taste good. And I enjoy every single bite. So yeah, I mean, I could go on and on. There's a lot of really specific questions here, but I think I've covered off most of the topics, or at least hit on most of the topics that you guys have asked about. And I really hope that this is helpful. I want to bring it back around one more time to reminding you of my ethos surrounding food and nutrition and why I do not and never will give very specific nutrition advice on my platforms. And that is because nutrition is individual. The key, the one shared universal truth that applies to everyone's diet is that your mental relationship with food matters the most. The focus on healing that, if it's not healthy, needs to come first. before any other goals with nutrition. Seek, when you are learning or seeking or trying to implement eating healthier, seek to nourish your body, never punish it. And always, always remember to do these things out of love for yourself and your body. And if you're not there yet, you do it anyway, because you're never going to get there. You can't hate your way into self-love. Mindset of abundance. Do it out of respect for your body first. Remind yourself of all that your body can do, the way it carries you literally throughout every single day and keeps you alive in every moment. Fuel your body out of a base level of respect for it first. Start there. And then you'll start to remember that you are and always have been worthy of that self-love. I'm Kelsey Wells. Thank you for coming with me. This was kind of a weird journey of redefining fitness, but I do feel a weight lifted off, and I hope some piece of this is helpful to you. Love you.